Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on, online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kuzin. With me, Brian Fernandez. And on the line, we have Cheryl Paula, Deputy Head of Equity, Afin Huang Asset Management.
Good morning, Cheryl. A lot of people have termed this an election budget, a populist budget. What are your views on the budget slant?
Good morning. Certainly, there's a broad range of populist measures, which I will touch upon later. But before that, let me mention a few broad pointers. The good news is that the government is expecting GDP growth of above 5% to be sustainable going into 2018. Now, to put this into context, Malaysia is growing on par, if not faster than Indonesia. In fact, you know, in 2016, second quarter, the GDP growth in Malaysia hit a low of 4%, and it wasn't that long ago. Now, the oil price assumption used in the budget is still conservative at US $52 a barrel versus the current market price of $60. So every $1 change in the oil price will release an extra 300 million ringgit in government revenue. So that would be good for the economy. Now, let me move on to talk about the populist measures. This is an election budget designed to appeal to a broad spectrum of people, particularly in the mid-lower income population. This is the first time subsidies are increasing. They're up 15% year-on-year to 26.5 billion. Prior to this, it has been declining yearly after hitting a high of 44 billion in 2012, which was incidentally the year before the previous election. Now, even though the government did not increase the BRIM payments, for your info, the average BRIM recipient receives about $970. There were various one-off cash transfers, including a $1,500 transfer to civil servants and $750 to retirees. However, despite this, I think the targeted fiscal deficit of 2.8% seems prudent, as it is down from 3% this year. All the more because there is a revenue buffer from imputing a lower than market oil price. So this should be relatively positive for the ringgit. So while there are populist elements, it seems to be relatively prudent.
Cheryl, what are the areas of the budget then that you felt were impacted that were unexpected? One very clear area is really the hospitality and tourism sector.
I think generally, actually, the budget was within expectations, and that's really reflected in the market performance. If you look, the market didn't really move much after the market. Probably the biggest surprise for us was the BRIM payments were unchanged. We expected it to go up. But as I mentioned earlier, there were additional targeted benefits to the civil servants and pensioners. Let me move on to talk about the implications of the budget to the market. So like I said earlier, this is not really a market-moving budget. So the capacity of the budget to move the market has been absent for many, many years. But if you read through the certain assumptions that the government has made to arrive at the budget, it gives you a sense of how they expect the economy to perform. Now, firstly, the budget implies that consumer spending will accelerate further in 2018, with GST collection expected to increase by 5.5% in 2018 from only 0.7% this year. Now, this should be healthy for consumer stocks, including the likes of Pardini or Nestle. In fact, the 0.7% increase expected in the 2017 GST collection appears conservative, considering the first half 17 collections are up by 16.7%. So that's the first point. I think that consumer spending is expected to accelerate next year. And the second assumption that the budget makes is that corporate tax collection, which forms 30% of overall revenue, will also accelerate from 6.6% to 6.9% in 2018. Whereas if you look at the number in 2016, it was actually flat. Now, this corporate tax collection can be seen as a proxy for corporate earnings growth. This means that we can expect Malaysian company earnings growth to be about 6-7%, and earnings growth has always been the key driver for a sustainable market upturn.
agree with that assumption then, that that basically the government has been spot on in terms of and conservative based on the assumptions for the budget?
Yes, that's right. I think relatively conservative.
Now, in particular, what sectors, Cheryl, do you think will benefit directly given all these goodies that have been dished out?
I don't think there are sectors that directly benefit. It's probably an indirect benefit. As I said, the first one would probably be the consumer sector, and that should start to, I think the BRIM payments will start to come out in a bigger way next year, so we should see that starting to do better. And the other sector that should do better next year actually is plantations. You know, if you look at the budget, they're actually implying a relatively high CPO price of 2750, and this is actually contrary to earlier expectations that CPO prices would come off sharply. So while there are no real direct beneficiaries, I would say that indirectly, the government expects the economy next year to be pretty healthy. And if we see corporate earnings growth at 6-7%, that will be very healthy for the whole stock market.
But in particular, Cheryl, given your view, off budget-wise, which other sectors do you think will continue to perform well in 2018?
Besides the consumer sector, we also expect the banks to do well. While this year, I think the bank story has all been about improving asset quality, next year we should start to see the pre-provision earnings line starting to grow stronger, simply reflecting a generally stronger economy.
Thanks for your insights, Cheryl. That was Cheryl Pola, Deputy Head of Equity, Afin Huang Asset Management.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.